Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, guys. Here we go. Spooky season.
Hell yeah.
Fully.
Yes, like legit spooky season now. We've been in spooky season mode. I mean, pretty much 24/7. Always. We're always in spooky season. Yeah.
But like now that it's officially October, I feel like there's no denying it. Like people who don't say, I mean, that don't get it, like now it's just a thing. So
yeah. I also thought it was fantastic because as I was going to like plug in my computer and stuff, it thundered.
Yes!
Like a big old rumble. And I'm like, perfect that when we go to record our first episode of official spooky season, it's dark and rainy and thundering.
Oh, and I can hear it now. I apologize if my dogs start barking. There's no promising that won't happen. And they're very scared, but I love this. I didn't even know it was supposed to like rain today, but we got ourselves in this little thunderstorm.
Yeah, you know what's great is now my dogs are going to go outside and it's muddy and Wick just got groomed this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
Speaking
a thing.
Of, you want to hear how fun this was. So we know Wick and Remy have some major anxiety, right?
Oh, good Lord. That's an understatement. Yes.
So Wick will get so worked up that he gives himself a stomach ache and sometimes he'll throw up. Mm-hmm. So today, mind you, my kids are also with me because we had 10 a.m. dentist appointments.
Right. Yeah.
So we go into the vet first to drop him off because it's our vet / groomer. And I take him back and the kids stayed up in the front part looking at the birds and animals. And I was like, okay, don't move. So when I come back out, I'm looking straight ahead, trying to make sure I can see the kids. And I feel my left foot come out from underneath me. I'd stepped in something slick, fall to the ground, hurt my left knee. Look, it is puke. It is Wick's breakfast from this morning. Oh, I didn't even hear this jerk throw up.
Ew, and then you fell in it?
And then I thought, okay, it's just my foot. I think I fell to the side of it. No, it's on my ass. And I now have to go directly
to the dentist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is a great story. I can't believe I'm just hearing this now. I guess I haven't talked to you this morning, but wow.
Oh, and also there was at least 5 people who witnessed my literal downfall.
Oh my gosh.
My knee still hurts.
I guess it's better than falling in other dog things.
You know what's weird? It's kind of like, you know, when it's your own child's like vomit and poop and shit.
I know.
It's different.
100%.
And so, like, even with him, if this had been someone else's dog's piss or shit or someone else's dog's puke, I would not have been okay.
No.
This
it is
my
different
dog's.
When it's your own dog.
100%.
Yes.
And
I will vouch for that.
Fan fucking tastic.
Happy Tuesday.
Love it. Love it.
Were your kids freaked out? Were they like, oh my gosh, mom, are you okay? Or was it like...
Oh, my daughter was like, I'll go cut that little bit out. She was like, oh my God, mom, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. I'll be okay.
I'm really actually pissed at Wick, but...
I was like, oh my God, my knee hurts so bad. It's still a bit sore.
Great. Oh,
and I was like, if I was a total Karen, even though this was my own dog's vomit, I could probably sue.
I know, right? I'm sure there's always a reason you can sue for anything these days.
But I'm not going to do that because I love my vet's office and I love the groomer and they're all nice. And it was, listen, I wasn't looking down and it was my dog.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize he threw up. No one else had seen it yet. Like
he must have been real quiet, like the silent ninja puker.
Yes.
Like, that's insane.
That's
actually, no, my dog can do that too. Like she'll be real quiet, Remy.
Usually
not Charlie,
he's not.
Yeah. These dogs, I tell you what.
Yeah.
My dog.
No.
Yeah. They're scared to do anything. And I'm, I'm just, we'll leave it at that. But that's not fun. And I'm so sorry.
No.
I hope you changed your pants now.
You know what?
It probably wasn't that much. You've gone to the dentist, for God's sake. Like, you're fine. You've done that now.
So I went to the dentist. We were on our way back, and they must have been slow this morning because his groomer called me. Like, it had only been an hour and a half, maybe an hour since I dropped him off. And she was like, hey, he's done. I was like, cool. I'll be there in like a half hour. So then I got the kids there to back to school. Then I went back and got him. Then I came back home. I had a telehealth with my nurse practitioner and I was like getting right there. And I spaced it until like, I knew this had happened, but like being like, I should change. I was like, as soon as I get home, I'm going to change my pants.
Yep.
I haven't. And then I left my house again to go get other stuff.
Well,
I had to pick up dog food and I'm still.
Don't feed him anymore. That'll solve that problem. He won't puke. Just kidding. Everybody that's like, animal abuse. Yeah, right.
No,
I care about dogs
animals.
And animals more than humans. So it's
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. So no, I'm still wearing the pants that had puke on the ass.
You know what? It's fine. It's probably not even as bad as like you thought, like as much as you thought on there. You know what I mean?
I don't think it was. Like, I got it wiped because the thing is, like, the dog doesn't chew his food. It's
no, all so it's solid. Just all whole. It's so all it's not even solid. That gross. Yeah.
No, it's just like if you had poured water over their food and let it sit for a while.
Yep. Because they don't chew it. And that's what I don't ever understand. I'm like, I'm never going to give you guys good treats and food if you won't appreciate that and chew it and just like save it.
How do you not choke?
I don't know. I wonder that all the time. But somehow they're still going strong. So
I don't get it. I don't get it. But when I went and picked him up, my vet was there. And I adore her so much. And we were discussing our old man Maverick, you know, because then I'm also a little worried. Like, we've got stuff going on at the end of the month. And
sweet
so
boy.
I discussed things with her to just in case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been a day.
Yeah, that sounds like it. But I mean, at least it's raining and spooky season. I guess
I know.
There you go. There's the
and it's
silver
not
lining.
Disgustingly hot outside. So
I know. Is it like muggy? I haven't really been out.
No, it was actually kind of chilly. I was
like, I can wear a hoodie and be
yes.
Fine. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I kind of wish I had a zip up or a hoodie with me.
Oh, that's what I'm about to put on in a little bit then. I mean, I have one on now, but I'll just switch from one to another because
I love it. Yeah.
I love it. I don't care. I will just wear it out of principle, the fact that it's technically fall. So
heck yeah.
Yeah.
So ready for it.
So on that note, since it's a new month, we were just talking about, we want to give a little shout out. I was trying to think of what else we needed to cover to our patrons. So shout out to Leslie, Jazzy, Rocky,
and Jillian, and Laurel, and Louise.
Thank you all from the very bottom of our hearts.
We appreciate you guys so much. And I'll just give a little shout out to Leslie is the co-host of a podcast called The Grim Mystics, which if you listen to their first ones, like they were true crime as well. But now they're just kind of two friends shooting the shit, talking about whatever they want to talk about. So it's fun if you're into that kind of stuff. Go check them out. I know not everyone's into like just the people talking about, like they usually pick a topic and like we'll discuss it, but they're not like doing the research and stuff about it now. It's like just people discuss, like, you know, when we sit down and we just discuss like aliens.
It's just like
shit,
a radio
you know?
Show. Like, yeah,
it's
like
just
that type
back
of thing
and forth.
Where you just, yeah, love it. Love that.
Exactly.
That's great.
So yeah, that's a... Oh, should we talk about too, you guys, if you saw our Instagram last week or our Facebook, which I did also then like post some stuff to our TikTok as well a little bit. So super exciting. We were approached by the Omaha Magazine. They wanted to interview us about the podcast. So we did that at the beginning of September. And then last week, their photographer came over and took photos for it. So that's for their, is it the October,
November
issue?
November, December
issue?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was a November, December, which we don't know. We'll find out. But
yes, we are going to get
very
we're
cool
each
opportunity.
Get one. It was so exciting. And, you know,
the lady who interviewed us was amazing. Lisa,
yes.
I believe is her name.
Yes.
I don't know. I won't throw her last name in case. But
she was phenomenal. I loved her.
Yeah.
I feel like we chatted with her way longer than I thought.
Yeah, it
we
was
would
like
have.
A 2-hour thing, and we're like, oh, okay, well, you could tell she was just very well seasoned writer.
Yes.
I mean, she did research, you can tell. Like, she came with the best questions, and I'm so excited to like see the final piece, and we can't wait to share it with you guys.
Yes.
Oh, it was so fun.
It was all so fun, so exciting. And then the photographer, when he came over, he was great, asking us a bunch of questions as well, and his assistant. Like, everyone was just so nice. Like,
yeah. It's a great experience with Omaha Magazine, truly.
Yes.
Yeah. They're great people, and lots of exciting things we talked about with the future moving forward. And so we'll see, but
yeah. So we were just really grateful for that opportunity. I don't even know how they exactly found us or how that came about. They approached us. It was so exciting.
Yeah,
my son thinks that because we've now been on the news and are going to be in a magazine that we're super famous.
We are. Of course we are. You know, to them, duh, better be. No.
Yeah.
I know. My kid's very excited about it as well. And they, well, in our interview, we talked about our kids a lot. So we will see what makes the final cut. They'll be,
I know, I'm interested to see,
to hear that.
I know. I'm really excited for that. I'm so excited to see the pictures because he took so many.
So many. So like just professional too. And I mean, this thing's just, I don't even know how to explain the whole thing. Like the environment was just really cool. They had really great equipment and it was more of him just taking pictures while we all just kind of shot the shit, you know?
Yeah. And
so we'll see. The camera adds 10 pounds though. Remember that, everybody.
I mean, he's got Photoshop, so I'm hoping he's going to be nice to
us. If you can like go ahead and, you know.
I know, we should have told him that before. I'm like, if you could like, you know.
You know. It's fine.
It'd be real nice. Thank you.
Yeah, it's whatever. Just kidding. We're so excited. But yeah. Yes. So that's where we're at with life and the happenings and the, I don't know, whatever else. But yeah, we don't even know when to expect that to come out. I don't know how often like, or how early the issues come out for them and all the things. So
I don't either. And yeah, but I mean, it'll still be, I'm just really excited for it all. You know, it was just really cool to have that opportunity. I don't even know where to go from there. Like, it's just been so nice. I really appreciate it.
You know? Yeah. It's fun because we literally started this just as like, hey, let's just talk about blood and gore and not quite that, but you know, and then now it's this and it's fun and we love that you guys love listening to it as much as we love doing it. So,
right. And I mean, we do, I mean, you know, I will say, okay. And then I'll let us get into it. I promise. But I just feel like it's so nice. Like we got so, so fortunate that I just happened to post in like a local true crime, you know, Facebook group and someone from KETV saw it and was like, hey, we want, you know, we got very fortunate with that. And so then just to then like have this too, it's like, it's just so exciting. So
it is exciting and it's super fun to just see it take off. So
So thank you everyone. Yeah. We appreciate you so much.
We do. And with that, this is episode 77. Also, I would like to add, because when we were doing the photo shoot with the photographer, he's like, well, how many episodes do you guys have? And we're like, oh my gosh, we have so many. Like when we were thinking about it and we're just, I'm still blown away. I cannot believe we've done that many episodes. So
I know. This is what, episode 77 now?
Yeah, 77. So that's wild, but that's where we're going. And so sticking with the theme of the spookiness and all the things, we're going to go to Atchison, Kansas. I believe that is how you say that. I don't know how else you would say it. So we're going with that. I'll kind of talk about some of my sources and stuff at the end so it doesn't give a ton away, which, well, in some of that later, you'll see when we get into that. But I don't know, a fun little fact for you guys. Apparently, Atchison, Kansas is one of the most haunted towns in the United States.
Okay.
And I did not know that. And one of the most haunted homes in the country is found there, and it's referred to as the Sally House. So I don't know who will know anything about that. I'm sure people that live there are well aware. So the Sally House, it was built in 1867. It's just your simple, basic, I would say, cute. It's old now and clearly it's haunted. So, I mean, you go ahead and take what you want to look at that. But it, you know, was a two-story white brick house, blue trim. There's a porch, three bedrooms. I mean, your average home. So over the several years that it has been there, it has been said that this house is very haunted. But there wasn't a whole lot of activity, which once again, back then, people don't document these things as much as they just talk about it. Like 1867, come on, you know, early 1900s. So they said that the paranormal presence pretty much picked up around the early 90s. So a young couple, Tony and Deborah Pickman, they rent the house in 92. So this is very early 90s, clearly. And they live there with their newborn son. And they only lived there for a span of 2 to 3 years, really. So they first move in. They say nothing really happened at the time that they moved in. they don't notice anything. They're just happy. And because they're young, they're, I don't want to say poor because they're not, but like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So they're just like happy to have a home to call their own. And it was a cute little house, it sounded like, and they weren't aware of any of these stories of the house at the time. Yeah. So, they were there for a couple months before anything really out of the norm started happening. So after a couple months was when different, like, things would happen, like lights would flicker off and on. I mean, you can chalk that up to old house, electrical, too, you know, yeah. It's an old mm-hmm. house. So, but then pictures in the hallways would be like turned upside down in the mornings, and a lot of the frames would be completely shattered. So that alone was kind of like, okay, I'm sorry. That's where I would be like, yeah, no, right away. Like the light thing, I can get past that.
Right.
So, they even said that like the oven timer on the stove, it would turn on its own and just start buzzing and going off. Once again, could be faulty wiring. We're going sure. with that. Okay.
Old stove.
Yeah. You know, so just little things like that here and there, nothing like super, I mean, clear that you could be like, oh yeah, this is for sure haunted. So one night Tony and Deborah had gone out to visit Tony's family. And when they came home that night, they went up to their son's room. All the toys that had been in there and stuffed animals were in a circle, like touching hands. Yeah. So
I mean, who
like,
was babysitting though? Like maybe they knew the
they had the son with them. So they didn't oh. have a babysitter. I guess I should have oh. added that fun
okay.
fact.
So no one was in the house.
Okay. So, however, they knew that their sister-in-law was going to stop by just to drop off a high chair. So they're like, okay, let's
she's
call her.
Fucking with us.
That's funny. Ha ha. So they call her. She's like, no, I literally went in. I was in a hurry, sat it down. And she said when she'd walked in, though, she's like, I did feel really like uneasy and it felt really cold when I walked in the house. But she still didn't think anything of it and left, whatever. So they kind of are like, okay, someone's messing with us now. So they go and put, you know, all the toys back that were in the room, and they go back downstairs because all the bedrooms were on the second level of the house. So they go downstairs. Or they put it away and they turn the light off too. I forgot to mention that. So they go back downstairs. When they get to the bottom of the stairs, they look up and the light switches back on. So I don't know if the son is in there. I'm assuming he's probably sleeping at this time. If it's night, I don't know really, but I guess, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but
I'm assuming he's also too young to like,
yeah,
because
he was in a crib.
Himself.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, some kids, like if they're like toddlers, but if he's
that's
still
true.
Baby,
and if it's like close enough to the wall, then they could like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's
and
fair.
Stuff.
That's
but fair. Like if he's baby and we're not even really sitting up on our own yet or something, yeah. Or just sitting, like we're not there yet.
Yeah, definitely not there yet. So, the light is on. So what the hell? So they go upstairs and there's a teddy bear just on the floor, just one laying in the middle of the floor. So then they're creeped out. And I'm assuming once again, it would mention that the kid was asleep or whatever, where yeah. like he didn't chuck it out of his crib. And I don't right. think it was in his crib to begin with because they put it away.
Hauntings that involve children's toys are the creepiest
no.
fucking things.
Oh, I know.
Children are just creepy to begin oh, yeah. with.
I remember my daughter had a toy, like it's like a Fisher Price camera toy when she was like a toddler. And when you push the button, it would say cheese. And I remember one night in the middle of the night hearing that go off, and I almost had a freaking heart attack.
Yeah.
I was no. like, nope. So then I mean, you chalk it up in your head to nothing because you're like, I don't want to believe that something's in here. So like, yep. you know, turned everything off at night. Anyway, that was not yeah. something I ever want to hear in the middle of the night.
No.
That creepy voice.
No.
So
that and a child laughing in the middle of the oh, night. Those are the creepiest fucking things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they're like, okay, is someone in our house now? Because what other explanation? I mean, you know, they think someone's in there. Maybe they don't know. But they put the bear back and turn the light off again, and they go back downstairs and they kind of wait, and like nothing happens. And then a half hour later, Deborah goes upstairs to use the bathroom and she sees that bear on the freaking ground again. Mm-mm. So things are getting a little sus. So they call their brother-in-law. I don't know what I don't know why, but they call him. So he comes over and they're telling him all this weird shit. They're kind of freaked out. He waits for a while, like nothing really happens.
Maybe just to have another witness. Because, that's you know, true. Sometimes
like, we're not losing like, our mind, are we?
Yeah, like you someone know. Else outside of people who live here are seeing this.
True. Well, and plus, I don't know how old the baby is at this point, but like, you know, even the first couple years of life, you're sleep deprived with the child because. Yeah, and you just could be, am I imagining
exactly.
things?
Exactly.
Was it on the mm-hmm. edge of a shelf where it easily could have fallen when the door shut? Or
is
like,
there a
you
draft?
Know.
Is there a yeah, vent there? Yeah.
Exactly. So he comes over, nothing happens. So he's about ready to leave. And when he's getting ready to leave, there's a teddy bear that like, I don't know what the deal is with the bears in this house, but they apparently, maybe it's just one of the kids downstairs. There was a bear that they had on the ground. Maybe he just played with it down there. But I guess when they're getting ready to leave, he looks over and he noticed is like this bear that was sitting on the ground, just like facing out is turned around in the corner of the room. And
like
they
as,
were
like
all
a child
together.
Being in timeout.
Yeah, literally. Like it makes you think of Blair Witch Project when like the whole corner situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay. And they were all together. Nobody left at any point where someone would have done that to mess with them. So they're like freaking confused. I'd be more creeped out than confused, but
yeah,
just me. So Tony calls his mom. He tells her what's going on. He's freaked out. She tells them like, you know, come over here, just stay at my house. If it makes you feel better. No, they're like, oh, we'll stay put. Okay. I don't feel bad for people after this point, but it's okay. I think you would want to believe too, like, well, this is your home. I mean, you know, it's like your first home probably together and no.
Well, and you know, you call your parent, even as an adult, to feel better. And sometimes yeah. we're like, okay, you can come stay over here. Just yeah. knowing you have that option makes you feel like, no, I'm
That's
an adult.
So
I don't need to go stay
yeah.
with my mom. You know?
I just want you to be aware in case I die. This is what's yeah. happening. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the mom, though, you know, she realizes that she has a friend whose daughter apparently used to live there in that house, which I don't know why they would just now make the connection, which I guess you wouldn't think anything of it if there wasn't yeah. a haunting situation. You'd, oh, I think so-and-so used to live there, whatever.
Well, and I wonder, is Atchison, I mean, it's Kansas.
Yeah.
So it's all like small townish
yeah,
anyways. So I'm assuming
so.
They're kind of small town. So like
yeah.
they know several people probably who've lived there or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Totally. So she reaches out to this friend and was like, was there anything weird when your daughter lived there, you know? And she said that they just noticed like some weird things, not a ton, but they said it always had a really weird smell, like a really bad smell. And toys were always on the floor. The lady said that her kids, anytime she would tell them to pick up the toys, they would get upset and blame it on someone named Sally. And they just thought this was like an imaginary friend that they had made mm-hmm. up to blame it on, because that's
right.
fair. That's what you do sometimes. So, okay, I don't know. I did a weird... Oh, okay, Larry. I don't know if I even mentioned that earlier. The brother-in-law, his name was Larry, that came over to the house that night.
Okay.
Okay, because I just... And in my notes, it says Larry's. And I'm like, wait, who's Larry again? Okay, that's who Larry is, guys.
You know.
He's the brother-in-law. So he has a friend who's a psychic. And the psychic friend lives in California. But, you know, sometimes they can do readings over phones and stuff. Like, they don't necessarily have to be there to get a good read. But
right.
before they really even, he doesn't tell her much about it other than there's some weird shit going on. The psychic says that she senses that there's, like, a ghost there that's between 5 and 13 years old and that her name is Sally. So that's pretty specific for not even being like stepping.
5 to 13 is a very big age range,
yes.
though, especially because they're not like going to be similar in height.
Right.
Like,
quite the difference. So like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, and also that's the kind of thing that makes you be like, skeptical with like, I
yeah.
could say that. Well, I think it's a woman between the age of 1 and 45.
Right.
You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, cool. So like, eh, okay. But.
But I mean, the Sally thing, if that's
yeah,
not a well-known thing and
right.
stuff
and
like
that. Right, and it
wasn't,
because the first time they had even heard the name Sally was when the friend's daughter or kids had mentioned that, you know, they
right.
had an imaginary friend, and then for this woman to say that. So,
yep,
yes.
I hear the thunder.
Okay, you can hear it. So I, like, paused because I
well,
was, like,
I have
for my dog.
Here too. I mean, it's thundering
yeah.
here, too. So.
I know. I was like, are we gonna bark? Maybe not.
I wonder if it's going to show up in our podcast. If there's going to be some nice little ambiance.
Oh, setting the mood. Yeah. I haven't done a paranormal story yet either, BT Dubs.
No, you
haven't. I was
haven't.
Thinking about that. And so I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. It's just like ready for me today. The,
yes.
the weather is welcoming.
So she says it's a girl, 5 to 13, named Sally. And...
so this psychic, her name is Barbara. I don't know if that matters, but that way, if I reference her, we'll know who I'm talking about. She said that their baby likes this ghost, spirit, whatever, and not to be scared. She said, you just need to make ground rules with her. Just talk to her like she's one of the kids living there and tell her to put toys away when she's done.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, and if you approach it in a friendly way, then maybe it won't be so like hostile. You don't know. Cause so far it hasn't done anything harmful, maybe breaking or violent. Some
frames.
Oh yeah. The frame thing is weird. And like, but yeah, nothing like they haven't been harmed, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like, okay, well, a playful ghost isn't nearly as scary as like an intruder in the home, you know? Right. So they're like, it's fine, whatever. So Tony still doesn't really want anything to do with ghosts. He grew up Catholic. So he's like, yeah, no. Tony's brother, George, comes over. I don't know how many siblings, in-laws, all the things.
Well, but George, if you grew up Catholic.
Yeah, that's a good segue into that sentence there. That's fair. So his brother comes over and he shows him the bear that turned around, and Tony picks up his camera and he's explaining all this that's going on. He's like, yeah, that's the bear. And then I don't know why he just had this camera. And he said, hey, Sally, if you're in here, say cheese. And right when he clicked the camera, the bear spun around. Literally.
Fuck that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. And George said, well, as soon as this happened, Tony takes off like hell no and starts running up the stairs.
Yeah.
And George turns to try to run behind him up the stairs. And he said that he felt like this cold sensation just take over his body and he could not physically move. And so it's like thundering at the perfect moments right now.
It really
I hope you
is.
Guys can hear this because it's like, I hope you're scared. Not really. It's like, I feel like I'm telling a ghost story, like literally, but you know. So he said finally, like when this feeling passed and he was able to move, you know, they finally decide time to, I put GTFO. Look out. So Tony, at this point too, as he's running upstairs, he feels something sting his back as they're all rushing out the door and they're grabbing
their things.
And
then he's got scratches, right?
And well, he screamed so like loud because it hurt that bad that they were all trying to get in the car, get the baby in there, that he didn't even think about it at the time. And so they leave. And then later his wife looks at his back and there are 3 long bloody scratch marks down his back. And on one of the documentaries I watched, which I'll talk about that one more later, but there's like all these pictures they have documented of the different like scratches that he incurs over this time. So like,
oh my goodness.
Yes. So, they were like, okay, there's no way he could have even physically done that to himself. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way the scratches were his physically, your arm won't bend like that. And she didn't do it. So they're like, okay, this is weird. So they call Barbara again, the psychic in California. And they're like, there's no way that this ghost is friendly. You know, she scratched the hell out of Tony. And Barbara decides just to come out from California and just go to the house and see. So she goes in there and she's like, Sally's not dangerous. She said, she's adorable, an adorable little girl that she can apparently see. I don't know. And she just really wants to be part of the family. However,
but they could be tricksters. Like there are spirits.
Oh
that
yeah.
Can,
mm-hmm. Totally. And I still like, if she's already now done that to him.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't, I mean, it was never violent until this point. So it's kind of like now you're taunting her and she doesn't like that shit. So.
Yeah. So then it's kind of like, she's just being like, hey, this isn't cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a party trick.
No. So they also, she said that it's clear that Sally just doesn't like men in general, which will kind of lead up to maybe the back history there. But Barbara still says, you just need to tell Sally not to do things, like just basically parent her. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to parent a freaking ghost. Thanks. You know, Deborah though was like way more about it. And they talk about how she felt more like nurturing and stuff to Sally, which okay, cool. I guess she's never hurt her, so whatever.
Yeah.
But
and I mean, if she's never hurt
her, why would you
piss
it off? Yeah. Like,
yeah. See, because my thing is like, I've had interactions with things and I'm like, you can be here, but there are rules you have to, like, it doesn't even matter if they're a child, like any sort of spirit.
Yeah.
Like one, I personally cleanse my house fairly frequently and I'm always doing a thing where I'm like, if you are not kind or friendly, like anything negative is not allowed in my home. But if you're cool and chill, like you can stay.
Yeah.
But like, you can't be an asshole.
Yeah. Like vampires, I'm not going to invite you into my house because I know what you do, you know? Yeah, you have to be invited in. Okay. But that's not the way that works. So,
yeah. So Deborah's all about parenting Sally.
Yeah. She's like, it's fine. Whatever. Plus they know they can't really afford to move right now. They barely can afford to pay rent here. They took all their money they had into fixing it up, decorating it, making it cozy and home.
Fixing up
so,
a rental home? I hope they got a discount on their rent, though.
I don't know. Then. I know. I don't know. That's just what they said on the thing I watched. And okay. So I'm just guessing, like, maybe they bought more new furniture and stuff to furnish it. I mean, it could be whatever. Yeah. I'm not sure. But, and plus, a lot of these stories, too, you're not even sure exactly, because all this is hearsay, too. And it's not like we have an actual, like, physical crime with evidence. I mean, we do, but you're just trusting that that's what these people are saying is what actually happened. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure on some of these. And if I'm wrong and people know more about the story, then feel free to share with us. But they're kind of like chalking it up to the fact that like, they haven't really been hurt. It's just a few scratches. Like it's not harming us. I think they're trying to make themselves feel better about staying.
Yeah.
And Deborah, like, starts just being very maternal towards Sally, and she'll praise her for doing things. And she says, though, that she feels cold air quite constantly, like around her anytime she's talking to Sally. So this part was freaking trippy to me. So Deborah even buys Sally a doll. I think she's just trying to, like, you know, play nice. Let's be friends. So she wraps this doll up in wrapping paper. And it's, so it's in a box wrapped up. She leaves it in the nursery where apparently Sally likes to hang out. Later she goes to the bedroom and she sees the doll in the crib, just the doll. She looks over, the box is still wrapped and not disturbed at all. Somehow that doll got out of that box with the wrapping paper and it was there laying.
I mean, depending on how, you know how some people like, have you ever heard of those people who like they can somehow use just like three pieces of tape for wrapping?
And you and so, like, turn it a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I she did it. Yeah. I don't know how you get the doll out, because in the 90s still, they had the hardcore shit wrapped all around them. You
didn't usually need scissors. The plastic, the zip tie things. And,
but I'm like, okay, we could maybe. I could see being able to kind of sort of finagle it.
All of these things, I'm trying to find, like, debunk all of the things. Mm-hmm. And it's possible, but I mean, that alone was trippy.
I mean, that would be creepy.
Yeah. So creepy. Tony often is hearing like scratching from inside the walls, because this, all of it just kind of keeps escalating.
I mean, that could be mice too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's an old house, right? So he hears that. He hears faint voices. As time goes by, he said the voices get louder and louder. He can't understand what's being said, but he said it sounded like a bunch of people in a room trying to talk over the top of each other. But Deborah never heard these voices either. So, like, there could be other issues there too, you know. But he even says that he starts feeling, like, nibbling on his toes. Yes.
Creepy.
Yes. And they don't even have any like pets that I'm aware of. Yeah. But
again, could be the mice.
Yeah. But he's, you know, he tells Deborah. And nibbling? She's, I know. I don't know which I would go sniffling. It's fine. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, I'm not a fan. Stay away from my toes. Deborah, you know, just assures him that Sally's just trying to get attention. Just be nice. It's fine. Okay. So it's actually on Halloween, so it's kind of ironic. But Tony comes home from work one night and he walks into the kitchen and he sees Sally, which, well, we think it's Sally, standing in the kitchen. Before he realizes this, he thought a little girl followed him inside the house and just, you know, behind him when he and didn't shut the door tight, and because she's so real. But then he realizes that this girl is wearing a very old fashioned dress. She has really like curly dark hair with a big bow and strikingly blue eyes. He is so startled that he drops his glass. He's holding a glass, apparently, and then she was gone. They even did a sketch of this, too, because on one of the documentaries I watched, they show a sketch of what he described
her.
And, I mean, you would just think, okay, that's a cute little girl, but is she that cute? So things just keep getting weird. They have friends over for dinner one night, and while they're eating, Tony gets scratched on his forehead. They can all see it. He's like, ow, he moves, and they can see these scratch marks, and they can just keep seeing them like appear as they're sitting there. He also starts having weird dreams. He had a dream one night that he was being dragged out of his bed, and he said it felt so real that he wasn't sure if it was a dream or not. But the next morning when he wakes up, there are scratches and blisters all on his wrist in the shape of like a child's fingerprints. Okay, are you still there, right? Like at this point, I just don't even feel that sorry for you because...
I mean, it's time to go stay with mom, I think.
Yeah, and especially because she is being violent. And like, I mean, nothing has happened to his wife or child. So like, that's, I guess, good. But how do you know that that's not eventually going to happen? To
she clearly does not like, you know, like him. Yeah.
No. Another time he said he saw a woman walking down the hallway. And he thought it was Deborah. And so he goes to follow her and he walks into the room that she went in. And when he walks in there, no one's in there. And just little things like that. So they're still not ruling out that this is just, there's like a natural explanation to this. Kind of like we talked about soup, like earlier.
A lot of them, there's a few things that I'm like, I don't know how you explain that. But especially like the scratch marks.
Yeah. That and seeing it showing up while you're sitting right there.
Yeah.
I know. Everything else you can almost debunk to a certain extent because you just don't know. Like, you know, and they still think, okay, we have this
like even hearing the voices. Sleep deprived.
Yeah. Well, the voices could be like mental illness too. And you just don't know. Or not even that.
Like you're just working yourself up because you are freaking out. Hearing things. Like, cause there are times I'll be laying there. I'm like, did I just hear my child? You know what I mean? Like when your brain is just like that white noise kind of thing. And for a minute, you're like, was that people talking? You know what I mean? So like, even that you could be like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah. I think exactly. And I think he's kind of like losing it. I mean, his wife is really like, no, you just need to get more sleep. And she thinks like her experiences with the ghost, Sally, I guess we'll just call her Sally, are all like normal, but Tony's are definitely not like that at all. So he just kind of keeps to himself because he's like, how are clearly we no
not
one
a little
me.
More like, how is Deborah not more concerned? We see the physical proof.
Yes.
How are you not more concerned I about agree. The fact that like, okay, Sally listens to you. You have a good rapport with Sally, but like, hey, I really need you to stop.
Yeah.
Doing this to my husband.
Well, and they talk, and later I was going to kind of talk about it, which now they talk about even if there's like another demonic presence there, it can control the other people in the house, or it can control the spirits to do what it wants it to do. So like, it could be kind of brainwashing Deborah in a sense, you know,
okay.
That's just what they say. I mean, which that's just another explanation.
I mean, but, I mean, it's one of those things too, but still. That's where it said too, like, you know, with the one psychic coming in, but I mean, and could have been fooled by a spirit, but I mean, there could be multiple entities in there. And one of them is masking themselves as a small child.
I know it's really weird and it gets weirder. And, you know, Tony's just like not going to say anything anymore because everyone apparently just thinks he's making crap up, which I don't know how? When you can see
he
some
has
of that
physical scratch
but,
marks.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're in this super conservative town. So he's like, people think I'm crazy. I'm just not going to say anything. But then different things keep happening. So like for their family Christmas photo in the picture, there's a very blurry spot right behind them. A psychic, I don't know which psychic this was, but she said that it was a different woman that was in their house and that she had a very big domineering personality. And she said that's probably who Tony saw walking that time, and but not to be afraid of her. And they're like, okay, I find that really hard to believe because like things are getting weird. How do you not be afraid? So it's to the point now the baby will wake up in the middle of the night and just scream.
Yep.
And
okay, but that another explanation is children, like infant to toddler age, like there's a certain age range where they are prone to night terrors.
Yeah, totally. My kid had them and I was always like creeped out because I think
it's the
stories like this.
Creepiest thing, especially,
and then you can't get them to like wake up and
it's
scary.
Like, their eyes are open, but you know they're not really coherent and they're just screaming and you're trying to calm them and you're like also at the same time like creeped the fuck out.
Yeah. Not a fun experience. So like that could be that. They say, once again, there's like a night that the nursery, like there's this loud screeching noise just coming from there from some weird toy that doesn't even make that sound. Another time, Tony claims that he sees like dust particles Well, this is when he's in the nursery, I guess I should preface with that. But he sees dust particles forming into a shape of a woman dressed in black with hair on top of her head. And she walks towards him. And he said, as this is happening, though, everything in the room starts to shake. And she puts her hand out. She has a black glove. And she says, I'm gonna. And then right when she says that, a black bird appears. And then next thing you know, he said everything stopped. And he thought it was just a dream, but he wasn't sure if it was a dream because it felt so real. But his wife didn't hear anything from, I mean, you would hear furniture shaking, right?
Yeah.
And so some of this, I'm like, I think he's starting to slowly lose his shit because, can you blame him? Like,
no, like it's 100%, which the thing is that there is something malevolent in the home. They'd be feeding off of that. They'd be feeding off of the discord because he's gotta feel some sort of resentment towards his wife at least too for not believing him and being like, no, you're overreacting to all your bloody scratches.
Yeah. Which is weird too. No. So the psychic that they knew somehow, I mean, shared this with someone that shared this with someone and blah, blah, blah. And it gets back to this show called Sightings, which I tried to find the episodes of this and I couldn't, probably because it was out in like the
I feel late like 90s. I remember this show because I feel like it was like Sightings, but like the eye was like a person, like a white silhouette of a person.
Or I don't even know. I should have, maybe. I mean, I have no idea because I tried to find it and there's so many episodes on this house, you know, but I was like trying to find something that would actually get the most out of, which I don't think I did find that one, but we'll talk about that later. So they want to come film at the house. They're like super intrigued. They want to do some episodes on it because I think they said they ended up doing a total like 4 episodes at their house. So I've been interested in that. Tony's like all about it. He's like, maybe they'll finally help us out. So it's 1994 at this time. So on the first day of filming, Tony was attacked with like, he had bloody scratches up his arm and on his stomach.
Oh.
When these people got there and they were talking to him, this was happening. They held the camera on him for 9 minutes and they watched the scratches appear out of nowhere.
Oh my God.
That's some creepy shit. There was a parapsychologist that was there and said that he had never seen anything like that before. So on his back, one of the scratches, it looked like it resembled the letters M and C, and they realized, which once again, I don't, you know, I take this with a little grain of salt, but, so the man who built this house, his name was Michael Croman Finney. So it was like his initials in the back. And the backstory there was interesting because he lived there. He built it. He lived there with his family. After he had passed away, his son became a doctor and he used that house as his office. Like, mm-hmm. So like the front of the house served as like office space, exam rooms. And then the doctor, him and his family lived upstairs, which I think it's kind of common in small towns.
Well, yeah, because like I had that case that I covered last year where the house was used like that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so like, I don't think that's anything really out of the norm. So that's the backstory there, which we're going to talk about a little bit more with that. But so now a psychic comes in and says that they are aware that there's a spirit there named Sally. And she also said that she knew a doctor had lived there, which that's information she could have looked up. So I'm not going to chalk that up to that. But she thinks that the Sally maybe died of pneumonia there and she maybe was a patient. So she says, you know, maybe she's trapped here and she's probably not the only one. So they're trying to figure out who the hell Sally is. So they go to the cemetery and they look for tombstones around that time frame. And there's one from 1905. It was a Sally Elizabeth Hall. But once they do the research, they see she's not the right one. She was like in her 30s and she didn't match the description of the other woman in the house either. So they're kind of back to like square one. They don't really know.
Yeah.
But then after looking into it more, they hear this story that I don't know if it just died out over time because back then you just don't know what's real and what's documented. But the story was that one day a very panicked mother arrived at this home and the doctor's office carrying her 6-year-old daughter, Sally. Sally had collapsed from severe abdominal pain. The doctor very quickly diagnosed her with appendicitis and he knew he had to do surgery very quickly because he said that her appendix was going to burst if he didn't. So he gives Sally anesthesia. But then he panics because it's getting worse. And so he started cutting into her before the anesthesia took full effect.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too if I was Sally.
Yeah, no wonder she hates men.
Yeah. So as that's happening, she's screaming, finally stops screaming. Her body just becomes
white. She probably went into shock.
Yeah, I'm sure. She ends up dying on the operating table. Shocking. Yeah. I bet you're shocked to hear that, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, clearly her last memory would have been of a man that she thought was like torturing her because
yes.
she doesn't know and she's a little girl. So there's no record of this and there's no Sally around that time frame that died, but they also weren't good at keeping records back then. Either,
right.
Things like that. So, but lack of proof kind of makes it hard to know for sure.
Yeah.
But that's one of the, you know, the stories with the backstory of why Sally's there and why she maybe hates men because of him.
Because fair.
So the more, yeah, right. So the more that they're there and they're filming this sighting show, it just seems to be pissing off the ghost more and it's making her angry. I mean, we don't know, I guess who, whichever one, a medium actually came in and offered to cleanse the house. And she said that she felt three spirits there, a child, a woman, and a gentleman. But before she cleansed the house, this was weird. She asked if they wanted to leave anyone behind and Deborah wanted them to leave Sally. I thought that was stupid. And I'm like, really?
No, let the poor child move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you like, what's your attachment to Sally? Like, don't be weird. So yeah, by the end of the cleansing, Tony had been attacked 11 times during this. I don't know what the time frame, but clearly people are more pissed. So during this time too, as you can imagine, Tony's really like deteriorating. I mean,
yeah,
mentally, physically, literally, I mean, at this point,
yeah.
But he's just kind of like become resigned to it. He's just whatever. He's angry. He's mad all the time. He's confused. And now it was to the point where he said he could start to understand what these voices were saying to him. And they were getting very violent. And they talked to him on this show too. And like when they interview him, I mean, he straight up says, it was telling me, like these voices were telling me to kill my wife. He goes, and I was going to do it. Which
see,
once
that's,
again, that's...
Then there's like, okay, but is that schizophrenia?
Yeah. See, and that's where I'm like, it could be somewhat mental illness too. I mean, there's yes. other stories, which we'll talk about that a little bit here
and
too.
And I mean, it's one of those things we've discussed before. Like, I'm a believer, but like when it's other people's stories
yes.
and stuff too, like I
yes.
still take it. I'm like, okay, but I also want to know, like, is there a thing? Like, I don't expect people to believe me in my stories.
I know.
Just off the, you know what I mean? And so, yeah.
It's hard to believe it. I know.
Mm-hmm.
So... take it with what you will there.
Yeah.
There was a story. I don't want to really go into detail because it's kind of gross and I hate animal things, but he harmed a cat, a stray cat basically that had come to his house, but he didn't remember doing it. He said he realized after the fact he had blacked out. And he said when he snapped out of it, like later, he saw this cat and he was scared of what he was going to do because he's like, I am not a violent person, nor have I ever been. So
yeah.
for me to act out like that, I don't even know. And he was scared because he kept hearing these voices that were telling him apparently to kill his wife. So
right.
he was like, we have to go. We have got to get out of here. So, they're kind of to that point. And then a couple days later, he's walking out of his bedroom and he feels someone push him. No one's home except for him. He falls into the stairs and the like railing and
mm-hmm.
he breaks three like rail posts. And this was enough that this was finally what made them decide to move. Like, okay, that's what it took. There's a lot
attempted
worse things
murder.
I would go with. But
I don't,
yeah.
I mean,
cool.
It was trying to push him over, down the stairs and hope
yeah,
he'd break a neck.
Exactly. So he calls Deborah and he's like, okay, we got to go. So that's what pushed them to move out. So they finally moved out. They're still together too. And he's like on an interview, he talks about how he starts breaking down and crying. Like, I can't believe I would ever even think of harming the person I love the most, which
I hope he got therapy, which it was
yeah.
90s. So probably not, but I'm like, you guys need some serious marriage counseling
oh, yeah.
too. Cause I'd be like, I'd be so resentful. Like, I can't believe you fucking chose a ghost
I know.
Over me.
Seriously. And then they move into a house that's only like a mile away from that house. I'd be like, peace out. But
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes they're just stuck in one spot and they can't follow, but sometimes
yeah.
they get attached to you and they can follow.
So now it's been, you know, 25 years have passed. So they don't think it's necessarily haunted, but they think it's a demonic entity in there. the violent attacks with all the thoughts and stuff. And why was Tony the target? They said that they think it was because he was the weaker person. Because he was Catholic, they said demons hate religion. And they think maybe they attacked him because of that. This was all their thoughts, which I think, I'm like, okay, well, they still think that Sally and the old woman are ghosts that died in that house and that the demon's using them to lure people in and control them. That was their whole thought theory behind it. There's been a few other tenants over the few years, the next few years, but they don't stay long. Nobody ever stays long. So by 2004, the home was completely vacant. The owner actually turned it over to the city of Commerce, and now they rent it out to do ghost tours.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, and with that too, they talk about that and they're like, they talk about confirmation bias, which I was like, this is so true. You know, if you're expecting to see something, you'll see it. So if a psychic comes into your house and says, oh, there's a ghost here, then anything that happens, you're going to be like, oh, it's the ghost, you know? So they said it's hard to dismiss their whole experience as that,
but there are things
definitely that something to consider. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they still stand by their experience today. Tony still said that he wakes up with things happening. He says he always has this pull to just go back to that house. He said one night shortly after they had first moved, he actually walked 10 blocks in the snow and he woke up and realized he was standing in front of the house. And people that have been at that house say that they feel a presence that's followed them home after they left. So they just tell people like steer clear, but they said, of course, this makes the house more popular. And
right. Exactly.
So
you're told not to do it. And then you do.
So there's no actual record of Sally existing, but there's clearly something in the house and people, you know, say it could be multiple spirits. Tony, like we had said, he saw her, a young woman once. Someone, like one of the other theories was that the older woman that was seen, the ghost, they said it was Joanna Barnes, who's apparently a relative of the Dr. Finney who had lived there. And she lived next door. They said that she spent several years in an insane asylum and people think that maybe it's her ghost who's intent on harming male visitors. I don't know. Very big stretches, but I just wanted to add all these different theories in.
Yeah.
So the attacks and the creepy happenings aren't just like, you know, a few of the things, because over the years, owners and visitors that have come to the house have heard and recorded unexplained sounds and voices, thumping sounds, knocks, sounds of invisible furniture moving. Like you could hear couch being scooted across.
Yeah.
People say that when you go down into the basement, this one, I'm like, I doubt this, that bricks and rocks are being thrown at them. I feel like that's a pretty huge thing to witness. So I don't know why that's just casually thrown
in there.
I feel
like that's a liability for the city. If you have a visitor coming in and getting hit with a brick, that if that was something that was happening, we would no longer allow the basement to be accessed.
Which they say that now. It's funny because after this, I went and researched the house to see how much it costs to go and all the things. And on there, it even says the basement is not part of the experience right now. So maybe, I mean, I don't know. But there's been several investigations in this house. And some of the things that have been witnessed over time have been video and investigative equipment and software stop working in the middle of it. Batteries that were fully charged are immediately drained. Moving objects, unexplained scratches and bruising during and after visits, physical touches, coldness. Trained guide dogs refusing to enter the nursery. That one creeped me out because animals.
Yeah, no, you trust animals.
Yeah. Yes. Growling in front of the nursery and not going in. Pretty much any psychic that's been in the house has all confirmed the presence of these spirits dwelling in the home. Several say that they have been able to communicate with them. And they even said that many skeptics have left this home as believers, but several paranormal investigators have provided different audio, video, and photos of activity there. So one other theory too, I found, I know this isn't like organized greatly my thoughts because I was finding different things, but another theory about the house was that the owner of the Sally house was this doctor that we already knew, Dr. Finney, who apparently had an affair with the African-American housemaid, which resulted in the birth of a child named Sally. When she was six, she became ill and needed to have her appendix out, but the doctor didn't want anyone to know about her, so he refused to take her to the hospital, and so she died at the home. Her mother was very angry and attacked the doctor, resulting in her death. the doctor moved away, but Sally and her mother remained as spirits in the home, and that the mother is still grieving her child, and she's the one who allegedly attacks the visitors, specifically males. So,
see, that's also like the one I covered, because it was like, oh, there was this child that no one knew about because of like, this and that. And like, for so many reasons, like, I think people just like to, especially them small towns, to make up a list of affairs. And like, maybe it's true. Who knows? Right.
We'll never know. That's why I was like, I'll include the different theories, because who knows?
Right.
But yeah, everyone pretty much says that Sally's the happy spirit there, and that she just wants to play with the kids that come in and move in. No family's ever stayed very long there because of the attacks, usually to the adult males. But they believe that, you know, the doctor buried the bodies of Sally and her mother somewhere on the property, which wouldn't you find that by now too, if you were really that into it? I don't know. So this part, I'm not going to even talk about as much, because I found a Ghost Adventures episode. And out of all the shows to watch, there were not like a lot of the episodes, because they're so old. I couldn't find a lot to actually watch. I did find the Ghost Adventures. And so I watched it just because, you know, but it was season 13, episode 2. I found it on Discovery Plus, but you can also rent it on Amazon Prime. So I took a lot of notes, and then I went back and took a ton of things out, because I was like, this is stupid. So, I mean, anyone who watches them, we know how they like to make things very theatrical.
Yeah.
So I'll just include a few of the little things that kind of relate to what we've talked about. You know, people that they interview people who knew the Pickmans, and they said that there's no way they made any of that up. They're like, they literally have nothing to gain from this. So that's fair. And then they talked to a tour guide who runs the tours of the house. And she said she's not sure if it's the house that's haunted or the property, because she said looking way back in history, the Indians were there first. And so she said that that's what she sees. She says she sees a tall Indian. These are her words, in the yard often. So I don't know. This is the only time or place I've read and or heard any of this information. But
about Native Americans being there. But I mean, like, if I could see, like, if you built on it and some of the stuff, like, because you built on Native American land.
Right. And this was the only time that I said that. And so I was like, okay. Or anyone said that, I guess. Yeah. So she said occasionally when she's in the house or when she leaves, she'll have bruises.
I get bruises randomly that I don't know how the fuck I got
them. Yeah, I sneeze and I get a bruise. So okay. But she said it feels like it's a male presence, not a little girl. So I don't know. But another interesting thing that nowhere else did they talk about any of this, which it would make sense, but also it's maybe not even that relevant. But in the basement, apparently someone who lived there briefly after the Pickmans, I lost my spot here. She was like, you know, Satan worshiper, and had all these pentagrams and stuff drawn all over the floor, and did animal sacrifices.
Of course, that's going to be a thing.
But this was, it was only on this show that I read or heard any of this. And I'm like, And so, and it's funny because when they go in the basement, like you could see like stuff wiped off the ground where I'm like, so you guys just drew with a bunch of like chalk. Something. And then just like, So, that's what they claim. I'm sure they'd love to add that in there to make their story a lot more scary.
100%.
So that was that. So let me scan through here, because a lot of this, they bring back the Pickmans, come back, they get them to come back to the house. And of course, when they go downstairs, which they do show this. So this was the only part that I was kind of like, okay, but how do you know they didn't edit this video and splice it? Because they make Tony like take his shirt off before he goes in, and he shows him his whole body, his arms, he has no scratches. And when they're down in the basement, you see the camera when it's moving, you see him turn and like kind of look over his shoulder, and then he grabs his neck. And when they go upstairs, you can see these long scratches down his neck, and there's like a big welt under his neck. Like he said, he felt like someone grabbed him, which I don't know. They even bring, I don't know what their thought process behind this is, but they bring like a young girl, like a psychic who's probably a teenager.
Okay.
Because I think maybe she'll be able to connect more with Sally being a young girl. She didn't know anything about the house coming
supposedly
into it. Yes, exactly. Except she knows that she's on this show, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, she just comments about feeling, you know, heavy pressure, and the room, and several times she falls over because she's so dizzy and whatever. I mean, but they all could agree that there was, you know, a very aggressive energy. You know, they have their cameras on all night. The one of the software, like when they're walking up the stairs, I don't even remember the main guy's name. Is it Jack?
I don't either. I don't know. He's annoying.
He's like walking up the stairs and like his thing just shuts off. And I still have a hard time believing any of that because, you know, and they have all these made up devices. Some of the things they talked about, something they had made just to use in the basement there, because there's apparently like a, I don't know,
a portal.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say like a port key or something, but maybe it's just portal. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're dumb and like idiots. They keep going after things they hear. And, the only thing that I thought was maybe of relevance that, which once again, this could have been good video editing. They have the toys are all out. The stuffed animals are like in a circle and there's a ball in the middle, and they ask Sally to move the ball or whatever. Nothing happens. But then when they go back and you watch the tape, you can see the bear like spin in a circle and then fall down, which kind of lines up with the previous comment that they had made about the bear moving. So, okay. But that's really the only things I took out of that documentary. I got way more out of different podcasts I listened to and just researching online.
Yeah.
But like I said, you can actually visit the Sally House now. So you can stay overnight. It's $125 per person during the whole year, except spooky season. It's $150
apiece. I say, of course, they're going to crank it up.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised they didn't up it even more than $25.
I know. I actually thought it'd be way more than that, to be honest. Yeah. But I looked and of course it's like completely booked through October.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's like the Liska House and stuff like that
too. It's the times that people want to go. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, well, and you know, there's electricity and plumbing and stuff there too. So it's a little different, but yeah, you can stay. Yeah. And then for those of you that are not as brave, you can actually just go and take like a self-guided tour, and that's only $20 a person.
Again,
and
it's like an hour.
Yeah. And they said that like, yeah, there's each door of the house, there's information posted on it with history behind it. But, that's the Sally House.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I had never heard of that, but they just kept talking about how, apparently that, you know, that town is a very haunted town, and I did not know that. So, that's your story. There's your intro to spooky season.
Heck yeah. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I'll see what pictures I can find. I hope I can find good ones. I guess worst case scenario, I can get them off the documentary and pause the TV and, you know.
But. And then use your phone. I've had to do that a few times because you can't take screenshots because your phone will black it out.
Yes. It's so stupid. And when it's that old, like, and you can't just find, you can't Google the pictures.
Like the still images. Yeah.
Yeah. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. So
I know
that is that. And I know that was actually a lot longer than I thought it would be. So, it was good. That was
I enjoy it. I love, it's kind of funny too, because like it stopped raining and it's kind of getting brighter out as you finish. That's like so great. I
feel like
it.
We should be sitting around a campfire right now or something. And like,
are you afraid of the dark?
Oh my gosh. I used to love that freaking show.
I will say, I remember one time my babysitter's like, we'd go into the basement and watch it, and we were getting ready and the light bulb exploded right as it was starting.
My gosh.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Well, speaking of shows, what have you watched? Because I know you said you watched something, but then you told me you were going to wait to tell me.
I watched, that's right. I feel like I watched a few things, but the only thing worth, I mean, mentioning would be I watched the movie Reptile on Netflix. I had no idea what it was. Normally, I would not even entertain that because I'm not a reptile person. However, it was, what's his name? Oh my gosh. I cannot think of his name. Hold on. I have to look it up. It's like a murder mystery thriller, but it's very dark. I didn't even know Justin Timberlake is actually in it, which is funny.
What?
Yeah. It's like, his, girlfriend or wife or whatever. They're both like, realtors.
With Benicio Del Toro.
There you go. Yes. I couldn't think of his name. Yes. He plays the detective and it's freaking so good. Alicia Silverstone too is in there. And, but it was super dark. It's basically, so like Justin Timberlake's girlfriend, like I said, they're both realtors and he goes to wherever she's at and she's like brutally murdered. So it's them looking into it and it's like a very dark story and lots of different twists and turns. And I was like, Reptile? Ew. And then I saw it, like who was all in it. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's not so who. Let's give it a watch. It was really good. I think okay. you'd like that actually, but okay. that's what I watched. So
I'm going to add that to my.
Yeah, girls.
I feel like I watched something, but now I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I got really hyped up about that talking about it.
Yeah.
It was good, but.
No, that's awesome. I love that. Did you, have you read anything?
I finished the book called Too Late by Colleen Hoover. And that one was dark as shit. It's way different than all of her other books. And that one was really, really good. And okay. I just started The Chain, courtesy of my friend Cassie letting me borrow it. So far, so good. Like I said, I'm barely into it, but that's it. That's all I got on my end. What do you got on yours?
What did I read? Okay, let's see. I can't remember if we talked about this last week. I read a shit ton of comics at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Was that last
week we discussed that? Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I then listened to, I love this series so much. It's the Thursday Murder Club series.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The fourth book came out September 19th. So I finished listening to that. Absolutely adore it. I adore that. Okay. Like, it's good. I didn't think I was going to like it.
Yeah.
Like, a client recommended it. It was on sale on Audible once, so I got it. And I adore all of them. It was such a delightful little thing. I loved it. I loved it so much.
Something that makes you happy like that, you know? Right. That's how you know it's good.
Yeah. So that was what I finished. I don't think I finished anything else since then, except for some more comics. I caught up on Strange, which was Clea Strange. Oh, I did read My Roommate is a Vampire, which was like a little rom-com with a vampire thing that came out.
Okay.
It was cute. Like, yeah. Was it spectacular? No, but it was like, I just, after reading all those comics, then I read that, you know, it was just like a brief thing. I read it in a day. Like, it was just a fun, cute little thing, you know?
Hey, that's worth it sometimes. So
yeah. So that's what I've got right now. It's funny because the thing you were telling me about him being drawn back to the house, actually there is, gosh, I can't think of the name of it, the name of the book, but the author is Anya Allhorn, and I've read a few of her books, and she's got a bunch of horror books, but one of them is about these people being drawn back to this house and then like dying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that reminded me of that at that point. But yeah, I'm just all over the place. Life is super busy right now. So I'm behind a little bit. You know, I've been listening a bit. I'm listening to Ink and Sigil right now, which is a series by Kevin Hearn, who wrote The Iron Druid Chronicles, which I loved. And I'm so behind. I hadn't read this one. I think I'd started it. And then for some reason, I got distracted and I didn't go. And so I started it yesterday. I'm halfway done with it. I'll probably finish it this week.
Well, that sounds lovely. That sounds great.
Perfect. Yeah, and you and I are going to hang out. And
we are going to hang out, yeah. And then,
I'm excited.
Yeah, as am I. In just a few days, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll have exciting things to share. I mean, I don't know what, but, you know.
I don't know what's going on, but yeah. Hey, The Exorcist Believer is out on Friday. We could go see that.
Not going to that one. No, my friend. I know, I haven't even looked, but I'm like, come on. Where are all the good, like... I don't know.
There's something called When Evil Lurks, but it's not until 7:10 p.m.
Oh, that's dumb.
I know. I'm not going to see a Saw movie.
Damn it. I'd go to that.
I won't.
I'm kidding. No, actually, I think they are disgusting. I have watched them. I've only seen the first three probably, but they are really gross. That's too far. It's not even like scary as it's just twisted and dark and disgusting.
There's The Nun 2 playing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm also out.
A Haunting in Venice.
Oh, I would see that one. That one looks good.
Yeah, I would too. I don't know if I ever actually watched the second one. I liked the first one.
What's the first one? Because it
was the first one.
Oh, the one. Yeah. The
Murder on the Orient. No, The Nile was the second one.
Then I haven't seen the first one.
The first one was really good.
Okay. The second one was really good. I saw The Nile one.
Yeah.
Not the other one. Okay. That's right. I forgot that that's the same. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Because they're all Agatha Christie. Yes. She created the character. They're all based on her books and stuff like that. So
yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well. So that's where we're at. Happy spooky season, everyone. Yes. You know the drill. Write us in. If you have something spooky, creepy, weird, doesn't care if it's Midwest, just tell us your stories. Email them. Message
Send
us.
Them.
All send the them to us. All of our shit is in the bio.
Our shit's in the bio.
Our shit's in the bio. Okay, guys. Yep. Our website, our socials. I deleted.
Buy yourself a shirt for spooky season. Buy one of our shirts on our website.
Yep, those are still there. I'm not trying to tell you how to get away with murder, but
but we are.
But we are.
Oh man. Well, Yeah.
Yeah. So, until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland weary.